Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist meeting.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full two-week period of sustained propaganda.
Hello, Grant Edwards on Liberty NZ. Thank you for joining the show, joining the podcast, I should say. Well, this hour we have Dr. Alana Ratner, and she's going to be speaking with John Ansell, and that's coming up this hour.
The CDC actually doesn't consider you vaccinated unless you've survived day 14 after your second dose. So anybody in those studies and reporting the data that dies or gets an infection or has to be hospitalized because their immune system's harmed by the vaccine, that counts towards the unvaccinated.
But as the science makes clear, if you're fully vaccinated, you're highly protected.
There were excess numbers of people dying after the vaccine that were being reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, exceeding the level of comfort. So those who we want to protect the most with the vaccines are failing.
Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know who they are.
If you look back in history, that's always the way tyranny has begun, by identifying and ostracizing certain groups of people in society.
For the vast majority of you who've gotten vaccinated, I understand your anger at those who haven't gotten vaccinated. You've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Hit hard. Extermination without selection. It's better to go too far than not far enough.
To fight by going
decisive
hard,
action
we must and
go
going
hard.
Decision to go
the
hard.
Very best chance.
We went hard
going hard and going early.
Well, this is John Ansell in the unfamiliar position of interviewing somebody on the Liberty NZ podcast. And this somebody is somebody that I respect immensely because of her stance, not just as a medical expert or a health expert, an actual medical expert who is a health expert, unlike many at the moment. Dr. Alana Ratner. Hello, Alana.
Hello.
Oh, you're there. Good.
How are you,
I've had
John?
Some technical issues getting to that. I'm very well, thank you, because I'm not vaxxed. And I wanted you to. The other reason I admire you is because you don't muck about with euphemisms. You've made some heroic speeches, in my view. I know you deny that. But because you come to the point and you call a spade, you don't call a spade a manually leveraged soil displacement utensil, do you?
No.
And you've said some wonderful things in public which have inspired me to also find a voice. But you are the inspiration for that because you really got stuck into the perpetrators of this scam. And I'd like you perhaps to explain how you see what is going on, both in terms of the liability of the people doing it and the nature of the vax itself. How's that for a starter?
That's a good start. I think that if government at the moment, I know they do because I'm part of NZDSOS and we have sent Jacinda regular updates on the danger of the vaccine and its inefficacy. And so they have the information in front of them. They know what it's doing, but they're failing to stop the vaccine rollout. Therefore, I would have to say that they're complicit with the desired end result of this vaccine, which I believe is to depopulate as many people as possible, as per the wishes of the UN and Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, and wishes to have a one global government and as few people in the world as possible. He's obviously supported by Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci. And the vaccine is a bioweapon and emails to the NIH and other departments in the American government saying that it's a bioweapon, calling it a bioweapon. And the patents for the spike protein going way back to 2002, it's patented as a bioweapon. So this is in the vaccine, what they are introducing into our body via the mRNA spike protein recipe.
This is an extraordinary thing to hear. Those of us who have been awake for a while, this is no surprise to us. To somebody listening cold, they would think you were nuts, wouldn't they?
They would think I was a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, a conspiracy theorist. Certain journaleftists, as I call them, have got stuck into you, haven't they, in the local press? In fact, the national press.
That's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah, your method of dealing with them was to say, Charlie Mitchell, we don't care at your second speech.
Quite right. We don't care what they say about us because they're not really very important in all of this. The important people in this are actually the children, and we want to stop this vaccine rollout so that we can save the children in this country and their children and actually the children all over the world, and that's what people are doing this for now. It's too late to save the adults who have been vaccinated, but it's not too late to save the children.
And that's right. That's what gets me agitated as well. They're coming for five-year-olds. They're quite Jacinda Ardern, the loving mother that she is. She's at the forefront of killing people in the womb, just out of the womb, leaving them to die in agony on the birthing table with no pain relief. Euthanasia, by whatever means she can kill people, she's killing people. Now she's got this little bioweapon thing, which is taking care of most of the rest. I think if you're between 0 and 4, you're off the hook at the moment.
No, they plan to do the 6 months to 5 age group. It's in the works there.
6 months to 5. So obviously the important thing is to be somewhere between 0 and 6 months.
No, because then you're in your mother's tummy or you've been in your mother's tummy. And if you're in your mother's tummy and she's vaxxed, you're going to be stillbirth or miscarried. And if you're breastfeeding, you're going... That sounds dreadful. It sounds like I'm nuts, but... The miscarriage rate for the fetus is between 81 and 91%. And they try a different denominator for their calculations. But Simon Thorne...
Oh, you've lost me. You've lost me already. What is it? I remember that from math just before I fell asleep.
But what they divided the total number by, Simon Thornley and Alicia Brock redid the investigation last month or October and published it, and the government forced them to withdraw it through various means, not because it's inaccurate, but for other reasons that didn't fit the narrative that the government was propagandising around the country. So they had to withdraw that article that showed that the first and second trimester miscarriage rate was 81 to 91%. And the Dr. Nagasa in Canada, who has blown the whistle on the number of stillbirths in Canada, which has gone from 1 per 2 months to 28 per 2 months, has just been put in jail. Oh, no, he's been put in a psychiatric institution. He was picked up and put in a psychiatric institution for blowing the whistle. So
because he told the truth.
Because he told the truth. And the stillbirth numbers here are rocketing as well. And, she's out to get them in utero, and while they're breastfeeding, then they'll start at 6 months soon and then it'll go straight through. And the scary thing is, this whole mass formation situation, two-thirds of New Zealand...
You need to explain.
I will. Two-thirds of New Zealand parents want their 5 to 11-year-olds vaccinated. They can't wait to line them up and get them shot, which is very tragic.
Mass formation. Now, that's a psychiatric thing, isn't it?
Mass formation happens. It's what happens is... you get a population afraid, very afraid and very... So they did that by the lockdowns and by spreading the fear that COVID was deadly and all these deaths, which were grossly exaggerated. For example, in America, they were paid $30,000 or thereabouts for every COVID death and again, more money if the patient was put on a ventilator. Mm. And it came out earlier this year that only 6% of those 300,000 or so American deaths were actually due to COVID. So people were made to be very, very scared and told there was nothing that they could do about this, absolutely nothing, and to hang out for the vaccine. So people were isolated and scared and anxious. Then the vaccine came, and that was their answer to everything. It was illusion. So they defend that miracle solution with every fibre of their being, and anyone that speaks out against it is seen as nuts or crazy. So in this mass formation, about 30% of people cannot be hypnotised. About 40% of people are just sitting on the fence, and about 30% are irretrievable. They have fallen hook, line and sinker, and you'll never get them back. They'll always believe in it. So we have to work on that 40% to try and sway them not to join the fully hypnotized 30%. Yes.
In the communication area, I call that the convertibles.
Yep.
They're the 40%. The converted, that's us, and the unconvertibles that you just don't worry about. You just use them.
Too late for them.
They can abuse you, and you can. The leftists will run the abuse, thinking that they're talking to their people, but a large section of the convertibles will hear the Charlie Mitchells of this world raging about you, and they will pay attention to what you're saying.
It's very important that every chance, even if you're just talking to the guy at the petrol station, to put a little bit of doubt into the propaganda, because they're 30%. We don't want them to get more than 30% completely hypnotized, because they're the ones that will turn violent and turn against us. Yes. So we need to have as many of that 40% on our side. So every little bit helps.
There's a girl, I think her name is Lauren Hill. She's been
wonderful
too in the way they write about you. And she's got camouflage suit, and she's really raging like us. And she's saying, if they come for me, I'm coming for them, sort of thing. And that's been written up. And so a lot of the people will now be aware that there are mothers who are very concerned, who will die rather than let their children have this vaccine. So the journalists who put that in, they are playing into the hands of the, what I call the GE free. We should be called the GE free, shouldn't we?
It's
genetic modification.
Yes, it is genetic modification.
That's what people don't understand.
It's called novel gene therapy.
So tell us what happens. See, if you listen to Susie Wiles, it's a happy story where this this little prick gets put into your upper arm.
She's a big prick.
Well, we don't want to start being abusive, like calling her a pink-haired beached whale or anything like that. So we won't do that, because she tells us not to go to the beach and then goes to the beach and gets beached. But we don't want to be rude. So what she says, and she's got a lovely animator helping her to point out to people that this this point goes into your arm, upper arm, deltoid muscle, and stays there and gets sort of somehow neutralized by these antibody thingies, and that's the end of it. But then the great doctor, I call her the state doctors, the great doctors of the world say differently, don't they? So you could pick up that story.
She's either lying or she's super unintelligent. And I think that, and she's probably getting paid a lot of money to lie. What happens is you get the vaccine injected in your deltoid muscle. It's not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy.
Yes.
And so it's actually been designed with to alter what happens inside your cells. And in that vaccine is a little nanoparticles, which include hydrogel, which is where the graphene oxide comes from. And inside that little ball is the messenger RNA. And that messenger RNA was meant to stay in its little ball in the arm. But the Japanese biodistribution studies, which have been confirmed by Pfizer, show that only 25% of it stays in the cells of the deltoid muscle, and the rest of it, the scent, travels through the lymph system and blood system all over your body, and it accumulates in your organs, and particularly in the ovaries. So there are some concerns about fertility issues, and there has been a big upswing in the rate of ovarian cancer being diagnosed since the vaccine rollout first started late last year. So that's an interesting thing to note. And it goes to your brain, it crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it goes to your testicles if you're a boy, and it goes straight into the heart cells. And when this little package of lipid nanoparticles gets to the cell swallows it in, then it bursts open inside of the cell and releases the mRNA, which is like a recipe. And there's something inside your cell called a ribosome, and the ribosome reads the recipe and makes the spike protein. And it makes lots and lots and lots and lots of spike protein, millions and millions, if not billions, of spike protein. And those spike proteins are pushed out onto the cell surface and they stick out into the blood vessels. And along come the platelets and get stuck, and the spike protein releases special chemicals that cause the platelets to stick together and cause blood clots. And therein is the big problem that we're seeing in hospitals, blood clots causing strokes and heart attacks, and on a more insidious level, little tiny blood clots forming in the capillaries of the lungs, which won't show up on scans, but they show up if you take a test called the D-dimer, and these are called microclots. And when they form in the lungs, they block off the capillaries, and so your heart is pumping blood into the lungs against resistance. So it has to pump harder and harder and harder, and the blood pressure goes up and up in the lungs, and that's called pulmonary lungs, hypertension, high blood pressure. And over a period of time, your right heart starts to fail, and after about 5 years, you die. So it's a recipe for disaster, and 5 years down the track kind of makes it look like, well, maybe it wasn't anything to do with the vaccine. People might not even remember that they had the vaccine and this could cause it, but we're looking at a big coming epidemic of right heart failure due to pulmonary hypertension. And, it goes straight in the heart cells and causes inflammation and myocarditis and pericarditis. And originally, and I think still, our government denies the fact that Pfizer can cause blood clots. They've recently told GPs how to check for myocarditis. The GPs aren't all doing it. But they still deny that it causes blood clots, which is incredible because it's known worldwide that Pfizer causes blood clots.
This denial thing, I mean, a friend of mine took her daughter to Wellington Hospital Emergency Department, and the triage nurse of the Wellington Hospital Emergency Department said there are no adverse effects from vaccines anywhere in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
I repeat, was the triage nurse from the Emergency Department of Wellington. That is taking denial to new heights.
She should be fired immediately.
Well, she's probably been promoted to.
She probably has been promoted. Absolutely. And they still say it's safe and effective. Well, it's not safe, and it's certainly not effective. In fact, it's completely ineffective. They use this stupid number called the relative risk ratio, and they say it's 95%. And they say that means it's 95%. The relative risk ratio is really never used for medication trials because it sounds so good and it isn't so good. They're saying it means that 95% of people will be saved by the vaccine. It's 95% effective, and that is a pointless number to use. The number you should use is the absolute risk ratio, and that tells you the honest efficacy of the vaccine. And the absolute risk ratio for the vaccine at the moment is something like -1.36%. So even if we say it's zero, the absolute risk ratio being zero means that it does nothing. You're just as likely to get the infection if you are vaccinated as if you're not vaccinated. I think it was probably about 1-2% at first. So it's got 1% chance of helping you be better than the person that's not vaccinated, but now it's absolutely useless. And it's also useless because it's against the original Alpha or Wuhan variety. So to say it's efficacious is a lie, and they know it because we keep sending them the information. Yes. They know it is useless.
So they just need a slight alteration to their message. Unsafe and defective, that would do it, wouldn't it?
That would be it, unsafe and defective.
So it's just a couple of letters either side.
Yes, well, useless unsafe and dangerous. And
yeah.
But they know these things and they continue to lie, and they know it's not safe. They have so many deaths on their database already. And in Linda Wharton, the wonderful, wonderful Linda Wharton, who started up the People's Register of the deaths and injuries because she could see ahead of time that the government would lie about this. And she's collected over 600 deaths so far in New Zealand. She's got a team of fantastic people all over the country doing this for her and feeding in the information and filling out the CALM reports. And she's an absolute hero, that woman. Yeah, if it wasn't for her, so many of these things would just go unrecorded.
That's right. 600 is there. I've talked to the head of the deaths team, who I won't name. She doesn't really want to be named. But the head of the, they have a deaths team.
Yes, they do. And an injuries reports, team.
They investigate obituaries. They look at the social media of people who have reported to have died in the paper from medical events, sudden medical events. Fine, they've just had a jab. But I think their official number is still in the 200s because that's their sort of confirmed.
Yes, yeah.
Hand on heart, they can say that those are confirmed. The others are on their sort of waiting list to be confirmed.
They've got five people.
MedSafe, I think I heard the other day that MedSafe have
got about 400 or something.
Well, I think MedSafe have said that there are X thousand, might be 30,000 injuries, 1,000 something or other serious, and 117 deaths. Am I right about that?
I thought the number was higher of deaths, but MedSafe, they go on to say, but only one has been caused by the vaccine.
Yes, now, obviously, nothing to do with
what they should be
to do with COVID, of course, do with the vaccine.
Attributed to the vaccine until proven otherwise, and they're not doing that. They, and every death should have a full coroner's report, which usually takes 2 to 3 months, and they're not doing that. So all these deaths that have been collected are temporarily related to the vaccine and are by mechanisms which the vaccine is known to cause, such as blood clots, for example, or myocarditis, and blood clots can cause heart attacks, strokes, all sorts of things. They are not following up, then they're purposely not following them up. So I don't think it's a coincidence that a 14-year-old has a massive stroke or a 16-year-old has a massive stroke and still can't walk or talk or feed herself. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that two young dentists die within a couple of weeks of the vaccine, vomiting up blood of massive internal bleeding. That's not a coincidence. They were healthy dentists, and both of them had the same thing happen.
Yes, I went to the online funeral of one of them just to get the...
Absolutely tragic.
A very, very fit man about to get married. So it wasn't the suicide that they tried to put out amongst the community.
It wasn't a suicide. No, you don't die like that.
No, but that's what they tried to, you know, they tried to make people think it was a suicide. The guy was not in a suicidal frame of mind. He was showing off his wedding suit to his nephews.
Just so I don't forget, while we're talking of suicides, you might have seen in the paper recently that the suicide rate has dropped, which I can't really begin to believe, given that Auckland's been in lockdown and there are police resigning from the police force because they're so traumatised by having to cut down so many hangings. And one policeman contacted us and said he's cut down 4 hangings in one day was his most. And what's happened is the suicide rate has not fallen. The government has, in its great lying wisdom, reclassify suicides as accidental deaths. So suicides are now not called suicides as of last month. They're now called accidental deaths. So the suicide rate will eventually fall to zero because they're no longer classified as suicides.
Isn't there? It's hard to know what is the worst thing that they do, but that would be ranking up there, wouldn't it?
They're very, very good at lying.
Well, they're not. They're not getting away with it, are they, Alana?
We're not going to let them get away with it. No.
But that is... it's just become typical now. We've just got to make sure that the whole team of 5 million that she likes to talk about know what we know. If that would be my strategy, if the whole team of 5 million knows what we know, this is game over for her. This is probably life over for her.
We can get 70% to know. The other 30% are goners.
Yeah, well, 70% is pretty good, isn't it?
I think so.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, while you mentioned the word hero, you're not going to like this bit, but I called you a hero once and you said, I'm not a hero.
No,
I'm just an aut. Shut up. Let me do the talk. You said, I'm not a hero. I'm just an ordinary person to whom teaspoons now adhere.
Oh, yes.
And you might like to tell me why you said that.
Well, this Helen woman, some sort of vaccine expert.
Pertussis Harris, yes.
Impossible in that it's sweat. Well, she's, again, she's lying because she knows it's possible. But what happens is that if you get vaccinated, sometimes you become quite magnetic and teaspoons stick to you and other metal objects such as tweezers and coins, if they're the old sort of coins. And if you have been around vaccinated people significantly and for an extended period of time, it can also happen to you even if you haven't been vaccinated. And it happened to me when I'd been around a vaccinated relative for an extended period of time, and I could stick teaspoons all across my chest and I could lean forward at 90 degrees and they wouldn't fall off. And I was not sweaty. I did not have glue on the teaspoons or any substance on me or the teaspoons. And you could feel, as the teaspoons come towards your skin, you could feel the pull, them being pulled and stuck on. You could actually feel the pull of the magnetism. And there is a that's worn off now because I've stayed away from this person, but there have been a lot of reports coming through because I do the CALM reports, which are the reports to MedSafe. There's lots of people for the country doing these on behalf of patients and their families. And a lot of problem in wanting to stay with their newly vaccinated grandparents and had lots of cuddles and kisses and they've stayed the night and come back the next day magnetic. So it's there's definitely some sort of shedding phenomenon going on. And as much as Helen will deny that as possible, it is possible because it's happening and I've seen it with my own body and I've seen it in little children who have stayed with their grandparents. If you go to the New Zealand Doctors SOS website and you look under the posts, there's a post explaining how this could happen and it's entirely scientifically possible and the explanation is fully laid out there for anyone to read, easy to read.
Extraordinary. I think it's wonderful that that Helen Patousis Harris has said that and exposed herself. Now, she's a prominent person at Auckland Uni, I think.
Yes.
Not that that's anything to boast about these days, not when you, not like when you were there. I think you did your doctoring there, your doctor studies.
I did my med school in 1990, yes.
Yeah, people say you're not a real doctor, you're a fake.
I just haven't been working for a few years.
Okay, so that's the magnetism. You also told me that you had a friend in Wellington who was affected
She got very, very sick.
Story?
Yeah, a lady in Wellington, and she was not vaccinated and understood why she didn't want to get vaccinated. And she does massages. She's a holistic healer and an amazing person. And she did a massage on she was unvaccinated. At the end of it said, ha ha, I'm vaccinated. So she spent an hour with her bare hands touching the bare-skated woman, doing her back massage and shoulder massage, and she has been sick ever since. And that made her fall over, and she's not a headache person. Chest pains, shortness of breath, feelings of numb properly, had all sorts of symptoms going past 5G and microwave towers because she lives near Wellington Airport. And when she walked past the 5G and microwave towers, she felt instantly worse, her headaches felt weak all over, and she felt these things like, she describes it as little worms under the body, under the skin, moving up and over her joints from one part of her muscle area to the other, and she's not taking drugs, she's not on meth, she's not having those meth bugs under her skin. It's bizarre. It's like something in her body is responding to the waves, which is about 60 gigahertz coming out of those 5G towers and moving. And we do know that there's graphene oxide in those vaccinations, and what it's there for is debatable. Some people say it's there because it's in the hydrogel, and the hydrogel needs to carry is needed to carry the vaccine into the body. Some people say it's there for a totally sinister purpose. Some people say it's not there at all. But the Quinta Kalama Spanish University researchers and other people now have proven that it is there in large percentages, and it does respond to the 5G bandwidth, which is about 60 gigahertz. So it would make sense that if she was walking past such antennae, the graphene oxide could actually be bonding. And
you said to me that there's the description of the wriggling under the lots of little worms wriggling under the skin resembled what you'd seen under an electron microscope.
Well, you'll see on videos by prominent and well-respected scientists, you'll see graphene oxide moving, and when it's exposed to a magnetic field or certain wavelengths, and that's what she described sounded like that. So we don't know what the shedding is caused by, but she spent a long time, and touching this person's hands and the person's body would have been warm. And whether or not the graphene oxide particles can move through the skin junctions from one person to the other, I don't know, but it's the only plausible mechanism for that to happen. And yeah, it's something that I cannot say for certainty because there's no scientific proof of it, but I know this woman and I know what's happened to her and I know when it happened, and it's entirely due to having massaged this vaccinated person. And she is a very sick lady.
Still.
3 months later.
Yeah,
3 months later. So you see pictures of people whose spouse has been vaccinated and they're sleeping in bed with them, and the side that touches their spouse, if they've got their shirts off, is massively bruised. And so when you come into contact with this, skin to skin contact, there's just no doubt about it. Skin to skin contact is causing bruises on people. It's causing magnetism in the grandchildren. It's causing this lady's severe symptoms, and it's causing period problems in women all over the world to such an extent that they're actually investigating it now with proper scientific studies. And little girls are staying with their grandmothers and grandfathers and coming home, three-year-olds having their periods. No three-year-old gets her periods, and these children have not been fiddled with, and that's, you know, been checked out. There's no sign of that happening, and it's happening all over the world. Little girls getting their periods when they've been around vaccinated people for long periods of time. And at the other end of the spectrum, postmenopausal women in their 80s, and I know one who is 93 and has been checked out to make sure she has no gynecological malignancy, no other reason for it, and she hasn't. When she's with her vaccinated friends for long periods of time, she gets her period. And she's 93 years old. Otherwise fit and healthy, totally fit and healthy. She's had the full gynecological workup. There's nothing wrong with her. There's no cancer. There's nothing sinister. So it's both ends of the spectrum, and the medical community has acknowledged it overseas, not here, and research studies have started already. But so that's some form of shedding. And whether people are shedding spike protein or graphene oxide, or their electromagnetic frequency changes because of the graphene oxide in their body, which is something that I think might be happening, because some of these symptoms are consistent with mild radiation sickness, you know, bleeding and headaches. And so if you have a substance in your body that can alter the conductivity between cells, such as graphene oxide does, it's a superconductor, then you can imagine that your electromagnetic frequency coming off your body might not be your natural electromagnetic frequency. And so people within that frequency range close to you could be and probably are affected by it. And the body is electrical being, really. I mean, our heartbeat, everything works in our body from electricity by the changes in ion channels across cells. And we know that, and it's been recorded for a very long time now. And so maybe the vaccine is changing our electromagnetic frequency that we are radiating off us, and altering things that way. Seems very plausible to me.
Yeah. And and who are you? You are the former Ducks of St. Cuthbert's, by the way. Just to embarrass you further, I found this out.
Yep, thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, John. But I'm saying is that you're a highly intelligent person, as all doctors hopefully are, but you've got this sort of ethics bug as well. Not all doctors seem to have ethics. They seem to think ethics is a county in England or something.
Yes, they've abandoned
that is the
their
most
ethics.
Disturbing thing of all. Oh, by the way, I found that acronym just to save my myself. Public Health Emergency of International Concern. Fake.
Yes.
PHEIC.
Absolutely.
Fake. So that
absolutely.
Makes sense. But you know, you're a bright spark. It's obvious in everything you say. I'd love to see you debating Susie Wiles. I think all that would be left is I shouldn't say that.
But
a pool of whale blubber, Simon, and a few wisps of pink hair would be all that's left by the time.
A whole lot of people have offered to debate Ashley and Susie and Helen and Mike Baker, a lot of the NZDSOS doctors, and Simon Thornley, and they have refused. And
that's
the only reason they have refused is because they know that they will lose, and they will lose very badly, and they will look like fools.
And we recognise this from the climate debate. I've been involved in the Climate Science Coalition, which are the sceptics, and they have the same experience. They've even put up a prize, you know, the Augie Hour prize of, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars it was, 50, I think, if anyone would debate them. But then, so it's the same scam. It's the same globalist communist scam.
Yes.
That goes back to 1884 and the sort of Fabian Society. What sort of people style themselves and put on their logo a wolf in sheep's clothing? And that's where this comes from, the Fabian Society. I know I'm pivoting here, but I won't take too long. Basically, it's an organization of communists just after Karl Marx died, and they wanted to take over the world, and they recognized that the world wouldn't accept it unless they snuck up on the world slowly over time. And this is coming to fruition now with all these scams that they've perpetrated, including the identity politics, which was the oppressors and oppressed, after the workers of the world would not unite against their nation states. They'd rather stay in their nation states and live in a communist prison farm, apart from the Russians. So all of this is a manifestation of that, the new oppressors and oppressed. If you're white, black mark. If you're black, a white mark, I suppose. If you're white and male and Christian and heterosexual and all these terrible things, then you are one of the oppressors. You get some marks for being female, but lose a mark for being white. And if I don't know if you're Christian and heterosexual and all that, but this is what's happening. Identity politics. It's all the universities can talk about. So universities are completely fraudulent operations. And now we have these scams to literally frighten the children. Climate change, and now this COVID, just to introduce the solution. The final solution to the life on Earth problem, which is this effectively a bio weapon. And get me out of this. I don't know where I went with that, where I'm going with that.
But what sort of people do these sorts of things?
Yeah, what sort of people? Evil people.
Psychopaths.
New Zealanders don't hate well. I've been into some Zoom calls with some rather wonderful Maori people. I've had some things to say about the treaty business and all that, and we're supposed to be enemies, but we just can't hate each other. We've got to work on that, because we just can't do it. And New Zealanders can't see the bad side of people terribly well. There's one chap, before I finish this rave, I just got to talk about Zelenko, the great doctor in New York, and he's having a conversation with Craig Kelly MP, and this Australian chap, you know, and Craig Kelly's doing heroic work and getting in a power of trouble for it. But he says, look, you know, I'm just struggling to understand what's going on. You know, I'm just struggling to understand. He says, I don't have that problem, says Dr. Zelenko, who knows how to cure people and also understands the political context. And he says, I don't have that problem. You're looking at the world through the eyes of a decent person. I don't have that problem. I grew up under Soviet communism. So in those few words there, he outed himself as not only someone who knows how to cure and prevent COVID, but he understands the political context because he's lived it. But we down here...
He also recently said that it's not intelligence that makes people believe this crap, it's stupidity. And it's the stupid people you have to watch out for, because they're the ones that will turn around and attack you.
And I've been throwing my toys at stupid people, and I shouldn't be, but it just becomes exasperating dealing with people, mainly on my own side. Getting rid of the communists would be easy for a communicator. You just make sure that everybody knows what we know, and you spell it out as clearly as possible, like you do.
Yes, but they've hijacked all means of communication.
Yeah, our side want to be so nice about it.
No, there's no room for being nice anymore. No. You just have to be forward and pragmatic and tell it as it is. And if you upset people, too bad, because we've got kids to save.
You wait for them to catch up. You don't think, oh, well, the public, you know, I've had a focus group, done a focus group, and...
No. We're over focus groups.
They're not quite
groups.
Ready for this now. They're not quite ready. They're not quite there. So we better talk gently. No.
You
get them there by talking bluntly.
Absolutely. Tell it as it is, or don't worry. Don't do it. You know, there's no point beating around the bush.
Yeah, some will turn on you.
I don't care.
Others will come round. They will come round. This is what I've found on the other issues. They come round in time. They take a little time. But if you don't jolt them, they never come round. Why should they? If everyone's talking nicely and the situation's all rosy and wonderful, then there'll be no change and children will die and so will everybody else.
You have to get out there and you have to think, doesn't matter what people think of me, That's not important. I'm not important in this. It's the kids that are important. And if people hate me for the rest of my life, I don't care. I really don't care, so long as these kids don't have to go through this jab situation. And they're excluding 12-year-olds and up from their sports, from the libraries, from the swimming pools. They're excluding them from activities. And these kids are considered competent enough at the age of 12 to make informed consent about this gene therapy when they're not given any information to make informed consent, and they're not allowed at the age of 17 in the final year of school to take Panadol without their parental permission.
Good Lord.
And just talking about kids, when your child steps into the school grounds, whether it is a private school, a public school, an independent school, they become wards of the state. They become state property. So when your child is at school, it is legal for the government to move onto the school and do whatever they wish to those children. So they could move onto the school, the primary school, where the kids are quite small and easy just to sit on your knee and hold still, and they could vaccinate legally every single child in that school.
So I need to stop you. I need to stop you there before I forget, because that was hugely significant. You're saying, is this something that changed in the middle of the night? Our MPs are very hardworking. They're passing laws at 4 a.m. for our great benefit. And is this something that
has always been the
ward of the state thing? Has that always been the case?
It's always been the case. When a child is on the school grounds, they are the – yeah. So this is why this girl in the camouflage outfit who got ridiculed in the newspaper today, and the nursing council is going to probably strike her off, she is absolutely 100% correct. She wants all the unvaccinated people, or all the people who believe children shouldn't be vaccinated, whether they themselves are or not, doesn't matter, to patrol every single primary school in this country at all times that there are children on the ground. So she says the retired people, the unemployed people, anyone who believes the children shouldn't be vaccinated should be there waiting at the school gates at every hour that the children are there. And if the vaccination buses roll on up, they should stop those vaccination buses from touching the children. And if that means sealing the doors shut, or, you know, I don't know, she doesn't want to attack the people, but she wants to slash the tires so the buses can't be used, anything. And, you know, they say that's bad and that's terrorism. No, it's not. It's terrorism to inject children with a poisonous substance that you know will injure them, maim them, make them infertile, and possibly even kill them. And if we have to stand at the gate of every school in this country for every hour that the children are there, so be it. I totally agree with you.
Say something there, because I've investigated the concept of a citizen's arrest. I was thinking of hopefully being able to use that against Jacinda Ardern. That's problematic, although there is an example that I was sent from an American school where the board or some parents did a citizen's arrest of the board, because this was a different issue, but the board was required legally to you okay?
Yep, I'm fine. Yep.
Board was required legally to consult with parents about something, and they weren't. So some parents legally arrested with the help of a sheriff. You see, the sheriff agreed that the law said that, and so the sheriff arrested the board.
That's
right. But in this case, that's because it's in America, I think. They've got a constitution. Yep. In this case, you can make a citizen's arrest, according to a lawyer I talked to, of the vax vanners, the people in the vax vans that you're talking about.
Great.
If they are dissent, well, this is not, you know, this is what this lawyer said off the top of the head, that the law provides in a couple of sections, which I do have, of a couple of statutes, that, yes, if somebody is descending on a child with an offensive weapon like a syringe, then you can physically constrain that person. You can attack, you know, I don't want to use the word attack, but that's what it amounts to. You can, you know, you can, a citizen's arrest is often a physical thing. If someone's being beaten up in the street, you can go up to them and haul them off. So this is what this lawyer seems to be saying. We'd need to check it chapter and verse, but she gave me a couple of chapter and verses. And that would be a way to deal with these people, and more to the point, to let them know you're going to do it.
Yes, so they cannot.
The threat, as much as anything, you say to them, if you do that, then then strong-armed men and or strong-armed women will resist you, will stop you.
We will.
Now, that has to be checked, but that would be a very good thing if we can confirm that.
Yes, we must get hold of that.
So I didn't realize that girl, that woman called Lauren, I think she was called Lauren. That's what people think. It was a nurse. I didn't know.
She was yes, she's a nurse. She's the one that's a nurse, and the nursing council will take her and probably rip her, get her deregistered or whatever it is that they do, and she'll be able to work much harder on this because she won't have to worry about what she says anymore.
Is any of these, some of these things that we're saying today, you know.
Just a sec, John. Get Josephine to put it in for you, darling. Sorry. My son going boogie boarding.
All of these things we're talking about, there's lots of different things we're talking about. What happens with the journal leftists, you know, they will go for your weak, and the left in general, the people who don't want, the dishonest people, will, they'll listen to what you're saying and they'll find the weakest part, the bit that's not quite proven, and they'll attack you, and they'll make everything about that. This is the nature of people that I argue with anyway. And so there's a blizzard of information coming out, much of which you've alluded to. And it's always possible to say, oh, that bit there, number 17, that's a bit dodgy. Or this one here, number 3. But the sheer pattern is undeniable, isn't it? If one of these things you're saying is wrong, like graphene oxide or something else is wrong, you can say, well, okay, but and I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that just the sheer, the wall of information that's coming out.
Yeah, tens of thousands
undeniable
of,
pattern. Yeah,
tens of thousands of scientists and doctors who are highly respected in their fields and highly published against this. And, you know, you cannot say that Helen and Susie and Mike Baker and that clown Rod Jackson and Ashley and Jacinda know their science better than these people who are university professors, who are head of ICUs, head of cardiology units, who are so highly esteemed prior to the COVID thing and highly published. You cannot say that our team knows more than them. Because they don't. They just don't. And people we're dealing with, they're not going to take any notice of these things. They're not going to take any notice if the whole country starts to die because they don't care. They don't care. That is, even if that is not the aim, they don't care. You look at Jacinda, she doesn't care. She has no empathy, no compassion, no sign of any concern about anyone other than her own self and her own ego. And without getting into the Pfizer contract, which they won't let us release under the Official Information Act. She's got lots and lots of incentives to get this country fully vaxxed and probably has got a lot of disincentives not to. So other countries incentives such as being paid, the leaders of each country have been paid $20 million or more to promote the vaccine at all costs. And there is some of the countries' contracts, the ones have been released, Albania, and the ones that have been talked about, Brazil, have clauses that say if vaccination targets are not met, then sovereign assets will be taken, for example, military bases, reserve bank funds. So imagine if New Zealand signed a contract that said that our military bases and our reserve bank assets would be taken if we didn't reach a certain percentage of the population vaccinated. Imagine that. Well, you know, it has been that case for some countries already.
Now, it seems to me there's another interesting thing that could be a good thing. Rainer Fulmich said in his presentation to the Polish Parliament or Committee of the Polish Parliament that he is noticing that none of the contracts with the Pfizers of this world have been signed by the politicians. Now, if that's true, he said, I can't confirm it yet, but it's looking like none of them have been signed. These are the ones in Europe. So,
how would he know that?
Suggested. Well, I don't know how he knows that, but
very interesting.
He wouldn't say it. He wouldn't say it unless.
So, who have they been signed by?
Well, they're not been signed at all because no politician wants the blood on their hands. What is the analogy there? Wants to be wants to be associated as the person who caused death, those mass deaths in their country. So they've left it sort of unsigned, is what he's saying.
That's
and so I've suggested that Sue Gray has been sending Official Information Act requests to the government. They just sort of turn them down. They just say, redact them. But I said, what about just sending the request? Could we please see the signature? Because that's not commercially sensitive, is it? They say, it's commercially sensitive. We can't show you all these things you want.
That's a good idea.
The signature isn't commercially sensitive. So I'm hoping she might do that because let's just see the signature of who signed on our behalf.
Yes.
And we were communicating by text, and I'm hoping she'll do that.
I'll run it
reinforced
by
it with reinforced it with Alan as well.
Good.
Her partner, and I think that would. She says, "How could you turn that down? You can't say, oh, we're declining your request," which they
you
do.
Can't turn it down.
We can't. We're declining your request because of commercial sensitivity. We don't want people to know what Jacinda Ardern's signature looks like, or something. I mean, this is why they have gold-plated spin doctors to spin. But let's see how they cope with that one.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
I don't think you can answer that. And if it turns out the legendarily scrupulous and successful sewer of as in S-U-E-R,
Volkswagen and
S-U-E-R of the most criminal enterprises on earth is correct, which I think he probably is, then that what does that mean? Does that mean that it's over? Does that mean that the why do we sign contracts? If a signature has no meaning, if it's not required, why are we made to sign them all the time? Surely it has some legal significance.
And it's very interesting. No, I wouldn't be able to say what the significance was, yeah. But it's very interesting.
Well, I mean, if something's not signed, it's not real, is it?
It's not real, otherwise, but what she's doing signatures? Is yes, but what she's doing is real.
Well,
so
that's quite. But you know, that's another thing. She just ignores things like informed consent.
She doesn't care. She changes the law to. And now they want to apparently, the European Union is thinking of everyone of cancelling the Nuremberg Code. So they must be getting a little bit scared, really, if they're actually making proclamations that they wish to cancel the Nuremberg Code. That's saying a lot about their own fear.
In itself, that's all you need to know about them, isn't it?
Yes. And Jacinda says that we're not party to the Nuremberg Code.
But, it's a bit like the Pope cancelling the Ten Commandments or something.
Yes. Although I'm sure the Pope's in on all this. Vatican is an international horror house, isn't it?
He's a communist, isn't he? But, you know, it's like that. It's like the fundamental principle by which the world operates. Cancelling thou shalt not, you know, thou shalt love thy neighbour sort of thing. What's the one? Have them do unto you concept. It's like doing that, isn't it?
I think they want to remove people's spirituality and they want to remove people's empathy and compassion.
Hmm. It's hard to believe that people can be this evil and that they can be the people who are running the world. They are the people who are designing and manufacturing the communication tools we're using at the moment.
I think if you look at someone like Jacinda, whose family is a Freemason.
The Google, the Facebooks, we get banned if you're good. If you're good, you get banned.
Jacinda's family is a Freemason family. And she grew up in a Freemason family, and we all know about that. And she had scholarships to university that were Freemason scholarships. Blair and Bill Clinton, well-known Freemasons. And then she hooked up with Klaus Schwab's Young Leaders Program. And she's got a lifetime history of associating with very evil people, and she's probably turned into one herself. She's become, I think... totally think that she is committing murder. Everyone that dies of this to the International Criminal Court, and I totally think that she should be declared guilty. The punishment, at least, equal to what she's done to people.
Yeah, it's hard to do more than that, isn't it, to her. But I'm just looking at a transcript I did of the of a Rainer Fulmisch statement. I defer to Rainer Fulmisch when people say, oh, you're too extreme. And
he's a good man. I've sent him the names of all the people in this country who are complicit with Jacinda. He's got the names of everyone.
But he says here that these, just to read from my dodgy notes, he's talking about the leaders of the world training in the Global Leaders Program, megalomaniacal, I would say Mengele maniacal, psychopaths, sociopaths, predominantly, and he says, predominantly weak personalities with well-trained rhetorical skills, e.g.
Jacinda
Macron, Trudeau, and Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand.
And also,
he includes her in the
whatever elite. Her name is in Germany, New Zealander who developed the digital system that we're going to use.
Now, could I stop you? That dropped out there, at least in my ears. It dropped out. Could you repeat that name again?
Victor Pham. He was a Vietnamese refugee who came here at the age of 9, went to Linfield College, and then was recruited into the Klaus Schwab's Young Leader Program and has gone on to extraordinarily intelligent, developed a whole lot of digital systems that will link him with the social. And he is the guy behind New Zealand's digital revolution, So which is obviously what vaccine passports are for. People get so excited they can go to a party, they don't realise what the consequences on their lives are going to be by having this vaccine passport. And it's very sad, really.
Extraordinary. People don't want to believe that this is the big lie principle that was attributed to Hitler or Goebbels or someone.
Goebbels, yeah.
Bigger
the lie, the more you believe.
If the lie
it.
Is so big, you know, that people just assume it's because they don't do big lies. They tell little white lies, perhaps, but they don't understand how somebody could tell lies that are that big. And that's how they get away with it, isn't it?
Yeah, because the lies are so big that you don't question them.
Or we're
them.
Nuts. Yeah, or we're nuts. I want to be nuts, as I said to someone yesterday.
I'd love to be wrong, but we're not wrong.
But if I'm wrong, I'm in some very intelligent company, like your good self and like all of the great doctors who suddenly develop, you know, like sudden incompetence syndrome after stellar careers because they don't want to go along with the genocide.
Right.
Like
that's
the very
right.
elegant Dr. Suture Bhakdi, you look at him and
that's
then you
right.
look at Susie and you look at Susie and Ashley and you look back at him. And you see two different types of human being, in my opinion.
You do.
And I don't think that's because I'm paranoid.
No, I think you're quite right. You see someone who's intelligent and switched on and speaks eloquently and looks after himself and the people he's with, and you see a joke.
Yeah. And he takes a risk. Why would he?
He
need,
does.
Why do these people need to risk their careers? And
they
and
don't.
Perhaps
they don't need to. They do
livelihoods.
It out of altruistic reasons. And they're not getting paid for it. In fact, they're probably losing everything for it.
Elena, what's it like? You know, I'm. You know, it's so disappointing to see so many doctors doing this. And what's it like at Med? What's your observation?
I think that doctors they are good children and they get good marks at school and they please their parents and they go to med school and they get good marks at med school. And med school is a hierarchical situation where you do as you're told and the people above you, you do as you're told. And then they go out to be doctors and they join their colleges, so the College of GPs or the College of Psychiatry or the College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and they do as they're told and they follow the rules and they don't question them. They should question them. And until now we've had free debate over possible diagnoses and treatment, and suddenly there's nothing. And the colleges, the medical colleges, for example, the GP college run by Brian Betty, who used to be the Pharmac director and also who has his own pharmaceutical marketing company, which he's had since 1994, which teaches drug reps how to sell medications to the doctors. So he's all in with the pharmaceutical companies since 1994. He's head of the GP college. They're telling doctors, you have to say this, you have to say this, you can't say that. If you say that, you lose your license, da 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 da. And these doctors either are scared to lose their license because they will lose their house because they're paying a mortgage or whatever, or they believe it. And whatever the reason is, they've abandoned their ethics, their morals, they've abandoned evidence-based medicine, they've abandoned their ability to debate things, and they've abandoned their Hippocratic Oath, which says to first do no harm. And you say this to them, and they'll say, no, you are the one that has abandoned all of that. You are the one that is wrong. So they are projecting massively onto us, who they call quacks and conspiracy theorists. Now, I don't know how they rationalise it other than that they've been fallen under the hypnotism of propaganda, which is extremely sad. But you can kind of see that the people who do these jobs are followers, usually, not leaders.
Yeah. Have you always been – I'm impressed by the NZDSOS doctors that I've met.
Well, our bunch of quacks.
A bunch of quacks, yes. Quack. One of them, you know, cured a friend's thyroid problem because she assessed the whole person and she got with the functional medicine, as if to say that the other was dysfunctional. And this friend went all the way to Nelson to see her from Canterbury and got her thyroid number down from, I think normal is 10. She was on 850 and she's got down to 80 with this quack.
Yes.
And I think all of you quacks need a quack of applause. Asked quack of applause because you're that kind of doctor and you are lateral thinkers, not perhaps literal thinkers, not box tickers. And
that's one.
But to an extent, they haven't got time
It's not about time.
People come in and moan at them, and they.
It's not about time. It's not about time. You don't work 24 hours a day. I know people who come home and spend several hours doing lots of other things that are unrelated to their specialist jobs. They have heaps of time, but they choose not to do this. They choose to say
their homework.
The government and the media tell us that this is the case, and we're going to believe them. And when you try to point it out to these people, they either say, oh, that's interesting, but usually they say, I don't want to look at it. I'm not going to look at it. Don't show it to me. Go away. I don't want to see. I don't want to know. Because we're threatening their reality, and we're probably they're all vaccinated, and we're threatening if they stop to think about it, they are probably slightly afraid that maybe they might have made a mistake, and so they want to defend their position as much as possible. They do not want to admit that they might have made a mistake because then it will be too scary.
They don't want to know. Now, there's no excuse for not wanting to know in a world where we...
You need to know if you're looking after people.
I don't know if I know anything. Yeah.
I will never, ever in my life trust another doctor. I will never trust them because I thought doctors had our best interests at heart, and I certainly did as a doctor have my patients' best interests at heart. But they look at how easily they have been manipulated and how easily they propagate the lies. And the College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, who have a heinous video on the website with all the lead obstetricians and gynecologists in New Zealand saying that the vaccine is safe for pregnant women, are criminals. And if they haven't stopped to look at the research and they believe the government, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. No. And these people, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. If they cannot stop and assess what is happening, they are not worthy of their positions. They're not worthy of their places in society. They're not worthy of doing the job they do. I don't want a doctor to look after my family that I can't trust. And quite frankly, I can't trust any of them at the moment. My own GP said to me that he thought maybe I was delusional and maybe I wasn't mentally well. I said to him, well, one of us is delusional. It's either me or you. I don't think it's me, but we'll see. Hopefully it is me because then I'm wrong, which would be wonderful if I'm wrong because then all these horrible things will not happen. But I really don't think I am wrong. But they so believe that they are right and that the government and the media are honest, good people.
And they won't debate, and they won't debate just like the climate scientists.
They are blind.
I think we're at a time in history, at a spiritual level or wherever, at a time in history, it's a great time in a sense that we are forced to
start again,
expose our ethics, and we would say that this great evil stalking the land. Are you a goodie or a baddie? It comes down to, I like to boil things down as far as they will go so I can understand them. I mean, you're talking to someone who got 29% in fourth form science. I scraped through general science school cert with 55, by far my lowest subject. I didn't understand any of it ever because I didn't have good teachers. I wish I'd had you as a teacher. But so I'm not naturally gifted in this area, but I think it's kind of important given that this is the death of humanity that I do chase after some of these doctors to get them to explain stuff to me and see how it will affect me and mine. And this is how it's working out. And like the other thing is that wonderful 23-year-old Casey Hodgkinson shaking away. She's either an award-winning actress who should go off to Hollywood immediately and have a stellar career.
I rang a whole lot of neurologists about her, including people I went to med school with, and they all said she's faking it. It's in her head. Yeah. She's faking it. Well, I'm sorry, but there's research to suggest overseas that the spike protein affects the motor neurons and basically fries the motor neurons. So, you know, they just looked at her. They've made a gross assumption that she's faking it, and they haven't given her a chance. They haven't thought, well, maybe she's not faking it, so let's look at the possibilities. And they give this thing a name called functional neurological disorder. Well, you know, that's another word for anxiety or convergence syndrome or fifth
head,
disease, fucked in the head. But that is not the case. They're just too bloody lazy to look at it. And these people that say to me that Casey has an anxiety problem, I say to them, I want to slap you in the face. You're absolute fools. You're not even looking at possible alternatives. And there are possible alternatives. Mm. And scientifically, it's entirely plausible that a spike protein is disrupting the motor neurons. But no, they don't want to think about that because it rocks their world.
Yeah, but the thing is, you only have to look, a decent person a decent person, as Dr. Zelenko said, only has to look at Casey and you see a decent person, don't
she
you?
She does it in her sleep.
Very few people. Yes, she's
and she wanted to get vaccinated because she wanted to save her job and she wanted to get vaccinated. Yeah. She thought it was a good idea. So she's not an anti-vaxxer and she does it in her sleep. Now, you cannot fake things while you are asleep. And, you know, she is the most loveliest person and she's had awful trauma. She's had this happen and then she's had the medical council put her in a psychiatric ward, tell her that she's crazy, tell her mother that her mother's crazy, block her mother from seeing her. Mm. The way that the medical establishment has treated Casey and everyone else who has been in similar situations is deplorable, it's disgusting, and it's shameful. Mm. And in the end, all they will have at the Nuremberg trials will be their prayers and their shame because there isn't anything that is going to save them.
That is a wonderful little speech there that we must preserve, like your other speeches.
But what I do want to say is that amid all of this doom and gloom, you know, this is the good thing about this is that this is our chance to start a whole lot of systems afresh, the systems being the government, the medical system, the way we see the world, and start again because what we had was dying anyway and not coping. And I think as people, many, many people have lost their spirituality, be that a belief in God or a belief in nature or a belief in whatever. People have lost their spirituality and they have replaced it with consumerism and materialism and a love of money and a love of ego. And that has led us down a path to mistrust our instincts and our intuition. And we need to stop and use this whole COVID disaster, this whole propaganda issue, to reassess what is important in life. And what is important in life is the people that you love and it's your spirituality and your nature and helping each other as a community. Not this great global concept, but a community concept of the people around you and the people near you. And in the worst scenario of all of this, with the World Economic Forum and what they want to do, we are so fortunate because we are a small country at the bottom of the world surrounded by the ocean and we don't need the rest of the world. We don't need to import things. We don't need to export things. We've got everything we need, water, food, growing capability, minerals. We just need to reduce our love of materialism and get together as a community and we can survive without all these global businesses and bigwigs telling us what to do. So we are one country in the world that is in a very fortunate position and we need to take this chance to change the way we live. The big screen TV is not important.
Well, what a wonderful way to end this interview, just looking at the time, because I know you've got another interview coming up.
Save the children.
Yeah. Save the children. What an extraordinary person you are, Alana.
No, I'm not. I'm a normal person, John.
You're a normal person to whom teaspoons now used to adhere. That's right. But I think, Grant, when you're listening to this, I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful clip to put out further. And we're dealing with a first-class human being, and so are all of your colleagues in the NZB.
Yes, those doctors and dentists people. And everyone, they're absolutely wonderful and they have been vilified and demonised and lost their licences and made to look like they're bad people and they're not bad people. They're really good people, my colleagues in this NZD SOS. They're wonderful people.
They're the goodies. They're the goodies. Yep. We're the goodies.
Yep.
And if we could just, you know, get rid of the baddies, you're absolutely right. What a wonderful God's own country we would return to being.
We would, where everyone actually does like each other. It's very hard to hate people, except I find that I do hate Jacinda, and I've never hated anyone until Jacinda came along. And I'm ashamed to say that I actually hate her, but I think she deserves it. Maybe you should put that in there.
Look, I think I'm feeling this. I mean, I did encounter her at an airport. I was supposed to be on a good behaviour weekend with my ex-wife. In an airport lounge, and if I was the violent type, I could have done that was after the Christchurch massacre when a lot of the women thought she was Mother Teresa, a lot of the men saw straight through.
That's a whole other story, because the Christchurch massacre was her fault, yes.
That's right, that's right. Do you want to mention that? Or
They wanted to remove the gun laws, And so they knew that this guy was a white supremacist. And so they gave him a gun license, and they knew what he was going to do because they had seen all his communications. And they thought, we'll let him go ahead and we'll let him do what he's going to do, but we'll stop him just before he gets there so he won't kill anyone, and we'll say no more guns. They failed. And then they tried to remove knives with the knife incident. So, yes. But that's for another day.
The policeman came to see me yesterday. We got on pretty well once I apprised him of all the important information. But, yeah, I told him that, you know, his mob were complicit in that that massacre. But that's a bit of a stretch for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
But this is the depth. Once you accept there are goodies and baddies and there really are.
Once you accept that she's a murderer, then you can see that. Yeah. And once you accept that she's actually complicit in murder, then nothing else. You know, she is, as you say, John, the biggest mass murderer in the history of New Zealand. She dwarfs the guy from Christchurch.
That's right. She's about six times his death toll now. Mm. Unfortunately, Brenton is in no position to catch up, so he's just got to look on enviously.
Yeah.
As Jacinda's toll mounts higher and higher and higher. But even when you've got MedSafe saying that 117 have died, nothing to do with the virus, of course, but that in itself is, if the government official website can get to 117, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Then that tells you something, because of course they're lying, but if they can get to it, if they can confess to 117 of the probably 600 or more so far, then we've got a serious problem. You cannot. There's athletes dropping dead all the time, all around the world. Sooner or later, one of the real big shot athletes will drop dead. There was a Scottish female rugby player the other day, but you know, perhaps not in the top league of our awareness. Novak Djokovic, I like him. I'm a tennis fan, and Novak, as I call him, is. He's not revealing his vax status, and he's consequently, I think, not allowed to play in the Australian Open. Or maybe he is vax, but he you don't not reveal your position,
no.
Unless you are unvaxed. And the interesting thing about him is he's about to become the greatest tennis player of all time if he wins the tournament in January that he has won for the last 3 years. And he is
willing to give that up.
And he's won seven
willing
of them
to give it all up.
Yeah, he's willing to give that up because I think he's figured out that I can do that next time.
Yes.
But I
Because all the others will be probably incapacitated.
I do kind of have to be alive to do it.
Yep, that's right.
He's a great player, great brain and great under stress, and I think he is using that brain very wisely, if that's the case.
I think so.
So I hope he is Novak, and he won't die, but you don't know who, you know, others will.
Yep.
And sooner
they
later,
have, and they are.
It becomes undeniable, doesn't it? Anyway,
it does.
Alana, I'm really
lovely to talk to you, John.
Your time and a wonderful contribution from you today. I'm sorry I interrupted a couple of times where I'm kicking myself that I should.
You have good things to say.
It's my first time as an interviewer, you know, so be gentle. Anyway, wonderful. I know you've got this other wonderful interview coming up that you've better have a cup of tea before that.
Okay, take care, John. Thanks, Grant.
Jolly good.
Bye.
Thank you, Alana. Bye-bye.
If you look at the side effects of these things, blood clots, myocarditis, inflammation of hearts, increased in miscarriages from 10 to 80% in the first trimester, increases in cancer, increases in autoimmune diseases, ovarian dysfunction, most likely infertility. And that's not to mention the genocidal potential effect of antibody-dependent enhancement. Why the hell would you put that into a child when they have a 100%, near 100% chance of recovery from an infection that is safer than influenza virus?